Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
People of the world, let's get together.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Gimme Shelter and All Paws Pet Talk Network. I'm your host, Jill Sullivan, and I'm really excited to be here with you today. We have a great show ahead of us. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone to send your medical or behavioral questions to pettalk@live.com. That's pettalk@live.com, and mention the show Gimme Shelter. So today we have three awesome guests, and up first is Lisa Finberg. She created this new really cool social network. It's called PetPav. You can kind of think of it as Facebook for you and your pets. It's a great way to discuss all things animal. I actually signed myself and my dog up, Killian, yesterday, and we already have several new friends. So it's sort of a place where you can go, if everyone's talking babies on Facebook, you can kind of talk dogs and cats and all types of animals on PetPav. Is that right, Lisa?
That's exactly right. PetPav is really a showcase for your pet. It's a place where you can put a profile for your pet, and make new friends, get pet advice. You described it perfectly. Facebook for pets is exactly the best visual, unless you're on the site.
You
put a profile up for your pet, and then our pet members are very excited to meet new people, so you probably got a lot of friend requests. It's and kind of similar to Facebook that way, and just what we have is, and instead of our news feed, it's called the Pet Working Wall. And that's where you can give a shout-out to everyone, ask questions about your pet, or even just showcase your pet, showing off pictures of your cat, your dog, your whole pet family. And everybody on the site loves seeing them. So it's specifically that kind of niche audience.
Well, that's the thing. It's really user-friendly because it is similar to Facebook. So it's free to sign up. You go in, you can create your own avatar. You can put a picture of your friend, your furry friend up there. I had Killian's up there. I had friend requests right away. So it is, think of it as Facebook for animals, all about your pets. But, you know, I really want to know, Lisa, what made you think of this idea? It's really cool.
Oh, thank you. Basically, I was looking for some advice for my cat, Sammy, who is also the site administrator. And I wanted to find out an article about why he was like up all night and what made him so unruly at nighttime. And I found a couple articles, and I really wanted to ask other cat owners if they've run into this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, why don't I create a network where we can do all that, where we can have a profile of our cat, where we can ask other people that are directly pet owners about what is actually happening with their cats, whether it be a health issue, why they're meowing so much at night. It could be anything health-related or just, as I mentioned, fun.
So that's the thing. So it's not just I'm going to post a picture of my dog or my cat and be done with it. This is really a place where you can go to find out information from experts or other people who have had animals for a long time and have been through things before. So this is really sort of a network of people to share experiences and tips and even get some advice, right?
Absolutely. I also write weekly articles on pet care, pet advice, pet news, different pet events. And so I send them out weekly to all my members in the newsletter. But you can even go on to the site and look under Pet Forum, and there's many articles on every type of ailment, what happens to your pet if they do this. So you can search articles as well. And I'm actually surprised that when I go online with Sammy, as Sammy's my profile, I am amazed by so much of the knowledge of the people that have joined the site.
Well, that's what I saw too. And I also noticed how friendly everyone was. You know, it's definitely not this secret society. It's like, as soon as I joined, I had about 5 or 6 friend requests right away with all people who had, you know, love for their animals in common. The thing is, how do you get the word out about it? Like, how do people know to go to petpav.com? And let me spell it too. It's PETPAV.com. So how do you tell people about it? How do we know?
Well, I've been using social media a lot. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, all the social platforms. And it's just really, it's one of those things where I just keep growing my audience. I connect with new people, people on my site, and their pets have been kind enough to invite their friends to join our network. So it's just a building process like any startup. You just keep hitting and trying to get new members.
Absolutely. And I've already noticed that there are an awful lot of members on there already. This isn't a really small network. I mean, this is growing day by day.
Right.
A lot of people to reach out to. So can businesses join as well? And how does that work?
Right. Absolutely. I have a lot of pet businesses, and you can do 2 things. You could either join the site and put a profile of either your pet, or if you, because obviously every pet business has a pet, or you can put a profile with your logo on it. Either way works. It's kind of nice to put your pet up. Let's say you have a dog walking company, or even a product, you can put a picture of your profile of your dog or cat or whomever, and on the pet working wall, they could tell everybody about their business, and it doesn't look as much like they're pushing their business as much as we're just having fun with these cute animals, promoting them. And or some of our pet members that have businesses, they don't even tell anybody, but when you friend request them or you look at their profile, the website of their business is right there in front of your face. So it's kind of an indirect marketing piece.
Well, that's what it is. It's indirect because first and foremost, I mean, we're there because we love our animals.
Right.
But it's also a great place to learn about these new products that we haven't heard of before, or services in our area like a great dog walker that maybe we didn't have access to before, but this social network is bringing it together. So I love that. Like I said before, it's so easy to join. It really has the concept of just really user-friendly. You go on, you sign up, you put up your profile picture, and all of a sudden you have these friend requests. It's really easy to use, and you're getting a lot of knowledge that maybe it's hard to find in other places. You know, a lot of times we can go to Google and stuff, but with PetPav, it's really a community, which I like. What are some of the future plans that you have with it?
Well, right now it's primarily a social network with articles. And in the future, as we keep growing, I would probably want to have some sort of commerce site on it as well, where my goal is it to be the one-stop shop for pets. You have a pet, you go on, you put up a profile, you look around, and then eventually you get advice, and eventually, probably in a year down the line, there's a place where you can actually go shopping for your pet.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I love it. So I want to get in. We only have a couple of minutes left. I want to talk about this cool social pet contest that you have going on. Can you tell us about that? It's pretty cool.
Oh, thanks. It's called the Most Social Pet Contest. And basically, you join the site, and the goal is for you to make friends and just be real social on PetPav. And we have some wonderful sponsors, and you can win 6 prizes. There's a pet bed from Wally Pet Beds, some accessories from Wags and Wiggles, and 6 different sponsors. And really, you just come onto the site, put up a profile, and be active. And we're watching you. We know who are the active people on the site.
That's
and then 6
crazy.
People
yeah.
can win. So it's a win-win for everybody. And as I say, anyone who joins PetPav is a winner, but this time you get some prizes as well.
Well, we love it. Killian is very, very happy with all of his friend requests that he has going on. So tell everyone again what the website is. It's free to join. So it's PetPav, PETPAV.com.
Right, PetPav.com. It's free to join. We love to meet new pets. And it's just a pet-loving network. All our members are really nice people. If they're not nice, and if they're, you know, Facebook, you get sometimes nasty notes, and same with Twitter. These are nice, friendly people.
This is really
no one should be embarrassed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lisa. It was great having you here today. Check out petpav.com, everyone. We'll be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Gimme Shelter on All Paws Pet Talk Network. I'm your host, Jill Sullivan. I want to just let you guys know that this show is brought to you by Pet Life Stores, where shopping is an experience for you and your furry friends. Make sure to check them out at PetLifeStores.com. So our next guest is Dusty Rainbolt. She is a certified animal behavioralist and definitely a cat expert. So listen to this, everyone. Editor-in-Chief at AdoptAShelter.com, Vice President at Cat Writers Association, Associate Member at International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, Board of Directors from Barn Cats, Inc., and also something really exciting, published author. I just want to start by mentioning that I'm downloading this and purchasing it on Amazon ASAP. She has a new novel out called Death Under the Crescent Moon. It's available on Amazon, and it's a paranormal mystery centered around a rescued cat in the 1930s. So I know what I'm reading this weekend. Welcome, Dusty.
Well, thank you. For a wonderful introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, you've got a long list to be proud of, that's for sure. So, Dusty, what I want to talk to you today is I want to talk cats, obviously. And I'm most interested today in your work at Barn Cats, Inc. So if I have it right, it's an organization that places sort of unadoptable or feral cats and or feral cats in barns or warehouses where they would otherwise be euthanized. So I think this is just amazing. We all know we have a huge cat overpopulation in the U.S. This is something that really, really sort of spoke to my heart. And I think a lot of people would like to know more about it. But what I want to do is really talk about the meaning of a feral cat, what that means, and then how Barn Cats, Inc. helps them. Can we talk about that?
Absolutely. Oh, you have hit on a passion topic for me. You know, a lot of people get feral cats and stray cats confused. I hear all the time, oh, well, I picked up this feral cat, but he gets along really well with my little boy. It's like, no. If the cat gets along with your little boy, he is not a feral cat.
They're not feral.
A feral cat is a cat that was born to an unearned cat, generally. They have had no human contact. So basically, they are a wild animal. And I mean, they may look like a domestic animal, but they are a wild animal. And they have had no association with human beings. A stray cat, on the other hand, is one that has at one time been owned, and it's either been abandoned or lost or whatever. And these cats, they may revert to a feral state just because they have to do that to survive, but they're not feral. You get them in a situation where you're feeding them and petting them, and they very frequently will go back to a happy, trusting cat. Did I make it clear? I'm not sure if I did or not.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, there's sort of a big difference between a stray mm-hmm. cat and a feral cat. I'm not going to be able to go and pet a feral cat. It's not like we can sort of get them to trust us and build a relationship. Essentially, they're wild, if I have that right.
That is correct. And there is a very critical period of socialization from the time a kitten is 2 to 3 weeks to the time they're 6 weeks. And at that point, that's the time when mama cat says, okay, you can trust this, you can't trust that, this is dangerous, this is going to eat you, avoid this. And if you have a mama cat who has been abandoned or whatever, the kitten is not going to have that socialization to human beings during that critical period. And it's very, very difficult for a cat to come around and go, oh, well, you know, I haven't been socialized during this period, but all of a sudden I'm going to start trusting you when I'm 4 months old.
Right.
It can be done. It can be done, but it's a lot more difficult. And, you know, I have even socialized cats that were truly feral, but it took years.
It takes a really long time. That's the thing. And I think, you know, sometimes when they're at the shelters, you know, unfortunately, it's impossible to uh-huh. adopt a feral cat. So there's something really cool that you've been part of that's helping to place these feral cats. It's called Barn Cats, Inc. Can you talk to us about that?
Oh, absolutely. Barn Cats, Inc. is the brainchild of a woman that I've been involved with, or we've been rescuing together for probably 20 years. She found out that there are all these poor cats, you know, that are under buildings or apartment complexes or wherever cats are abandoned, that are basically wild cats. So she formed this organization. It's wonderful. She takes, we call them nuisance ferals and unadoptables. And when I say ferals, I'm even talking about cats from hoarders, because a lot of times if a hoarder has 50 cats, none of them are going to be really socialized. So they're basically feral indoor cats. So mm-hmm. she takes these cats that would ordinarily be euthanized, and she puts them to work. They go into horse barns. They go into warehouses. They go into sometimes shops, and they kill rats, and they get to live out their life. The people have to sign agreements saying that if the cat is socialized, they will seek medical help and keep them current on their shots. If they're not socialized, then the only thing they have to provide is food and shelter, because a fed feral cat or a fed barn cat is a much better hunter than a cat that's simply fending for himself.
And I think what's so interesting too is that they're happy. They're happy like this. When we when Project Positive, when we went and renovated a horse rescue out in Epping, there were a few barn cats there. And I'm telling you, it's not like we could go up and socialize with them. They're happy. I mean, this is sort of what they want to be doing, in a sense. So they're protected, but they're also able to be themselves. They're not in threatening situations that aren't really threatening situations, but to force them to try to be social to them seems threatening, I would assume.
Exactly. Not all cats are meant to be pets. And, you know, we would like that cute little Siamese to be a pet, but they're not. They're not all like that. And so this gives them an opportunity to earn their keep, to live their lives. And, you know, sometimes there are situations, you know, there are hazards involved in it, coyotes and such. But barn cats try to put the cats in situations where as much of the hazard has been taken out as possible. So it's I find it really exciting because these are the cats that have no chance whatsoever. In a shelter, these feral cats, they are going to die. And, of course, we hear all the time the hoarder cats, the ones that are unsocialized, what are you going to do with them? So this gives them an opportunity to live away from people, which is what they want, and to contribute. And they get fed, and they get shelter, and they're happy.
That's so amazing. Now, Dusty, what's the website where people can go and learn more about this?
Barncats.org.
Oh, easy enough. Barncats.org. You know, I would love to have you on. I feel like you and I have so much we can talk about. I'd love to have you on as a guest again.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your book next time, too, because I am super excited about this. I'm a big, big paranormal mystery fan. And I'm really looking forward to it. So barncats.org, and where can people learn more about you?
Well, right now, my website is down, so they can just go and check me out on Amazon.
Okay.
Or they can go to catwriters.com.
Okay, awesome. So Dusty Rainbolt, check her out on Amazon. And we are really honored to have you here today, Dusty. And everyone, we're going to be right back after this short break. Thank you.
Love for the human race, make it a better place.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Gimme Shelter on All Paws Pet Network. I am your host, Jill Sullivan. Really happy to be with you today. Just want to make sure that you guys know that this show is brought to you by Pet Life Stores, where shopping is an experience for you and your furry friends. Check them out at PetLifeStores.com. So our next guest, I'm very excited, the wonderful and charming Dr. Carol Osborne. She is a pioneer in anti-aging medicine and longevity for your pets, and she's also a frequent guest on Get This, The Today Show, Good Day LA, Discovery's Animal Planet, and Dr. Carol has also been featured on USA Today, the LA Times, and the prestigious New York Daily News. Dr. Carol, I'm really excited. I want to let everyone know that if they have questions for you, please, please email them at pettalk@live.com. That's pettalk@live.com. So welcome, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you, Jill. I'm delighted to join you and all of your pet-loving listeners.
Yes, we're very excited today. So I want to start off with a topic that is not so pleasant. It's actually very, very disturbing. It is the beef jerky or jerky recall that's just been wreaking havoc and sickness and all of these awful things on our pets. And I'm hoping that you can shed a little bit of light, because I want to tell you, I'm scared to go and purchase certain products. I don't know what to buy and what not to buy and what's going on.
Well, you know, Jill, I think you just hit the nail on the head. This issue with these jerky treats, and it's not just beef. That's important for pet owners to understand. We're talking about all the jerky treats. So we're talking about the jerky tenders as well as the jerky strips. We're talking about chicken, duck, sweet potato, and or dried fruit.
Ooh.
Okay, so any kind of a jerky treat, if you would like my suggestion, steer clear. Don't buy jerky treats for your pet. Since 2007, okay, guys, this is 2013, so we're going on a five-year investigation by the FDA trying to figure out what it is in these jerky treats that are made in China what it might be that's caused 580 pets to be dead, 3,600 dogs sickened, as well as 10 cats.
Oh,
now, according to the FDA, they've conducted more than 1,200 tests going all the way back to 2007. So we're talking about 5 years. And yet, isn't it unbelievable that at the end of the 5 years, with all of these dead pets, not only is there not a recall issued, that's key to understand, folks, a recall has not been issued. The product is still sitting on the shelves all over the country.
Oh, my.
So the key to this is don't buy the product. Okay, this FDA notification, it's an update. It's an alert. It is not a recall. They are doing nothing to remove the product from the shelves. So what's happening? Well, let me tell you. Within, and again, you know, everybody's an individual, but according to the FDA's latest release, within hours of eating these jerky tenders or strips, what may or may not happen? Appetite loss, lethargy, decreased activity, vomiting and diarrhea with or without blood and mucus, increased water consumption, increased urination. What's that telling you? Kidney failure. Okay. Fanconi syndrome, a syndrome that mimics diabetes, but it really isn't. So that kind of throws your veterinarian. In addition to that, we've got collapse, convulsions. They end it with skin issues, which is almost ridiculous. Yeah. So these animals are dying. You know, keep in mind that we're talking about communist China. Certainly these report indicates that inspection of the facilities, I'm quoting, inspection of the facilities in China that manufacture jerky products associated with the highest numbers of the pet illness reports, unfortunately, did not identify the causative agent.
Oh my.
So what are some things to think about? Well, one, just don't buy the product, folks. If you want to give your pet a treat, give them a kiss, give them a hug, try a belly rub. It's low-cal. It won't hurt your pet, and your pet will love it, and he won't get chubby either. Fresh vegetables are also a great healthy treat. So what's going on with these jerkies? Well, a few months ago, someone identified some various drugs. I think there was 6 different antibiotics. So they got rid of, that was in January of this year, a New York State lab reported finding evidence of 6 different antibiotics in these jerky treats. So a couple of bags got removed. Another firm used falsified documents for something called glycerin. Did they ever go any farther on that or, you know, shed a little more insight? Certainly not. The fact of the matter is, it's more than a complete disaster. And for me as a veterinarian, I get calls, multiple calls from distressed owners and at times from distressed veterinarians, trying to figure out what to do to try to save these poor dogs. What's more interesting, Jill, and this is another great release that just came out that I find to be quite sad, to tell you the truth. Here's the headline. FDA moves to keep food safe for animals. Well, it sounds good. What were you going to say?
It sounds good. That's the thing. I mean, I keep thinking, what is it that, why can't we pull them off the shelves? I mean, if this were something, you know, you hear of when it's human, when it's chicken that's being sold at the supermarkets, I mean, and there's a concern, like there was a recall on chicken pasta salad or something very recently in our area in New England. I mean, those are pulled right off the shelf. Why doesn't the same apply to our pets?
Well, thank you very much. That's the perfect question. So here's what they've got in the news, which once again, I find illuminating to say the least. And I'm going to quote once again, unlike safeguards already in place to protect human food, there are currently no regulations governing the safe production of animal foods. There's also no type of hazard analysis. They go on further to say that that human and animal health are intertwined. And then they quote that, for example, if a pet food contains salmonella, which is a bacteria certainly contagious between pets and animals, that if the, if it's handled or placed on a surface, the bacteria can spread to humans and cause basically vomiting, diarrhea, you know, a gastrointestinal type illness in the humans. Now, they go on to say that if an animal has eaten a food contaminated with a chemical like dioxin, for example, that could potentially put the consumer at risk because it's absorbed through the skin. Now, so they've got this proposed safety plan, and according to this, this would be the fifth rule that the FDA has proposed. Notice the word proposed, not put into law, not written into law, not anything. It's simply proposed. So it's the fifth rule proposed this year as part of the food safety framework envisioned by the 2011 FDA Food Safety Modernization Act that focuses on preventing foodborne illnesses.
So there's actually a rule that they've come up with that you have, right? Are you going to read it for us? Can we take a break and come back?
We can definitely take a break and come back, because I think it's important for people to understand the way that the FDA views animal products, which includes our beloved four-legged companions.
I absolutely agree, Dr. Carroll. So everyone, hold tight. We will be right back. We're going to continue this discussion.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry,
tastes great. I love food.
People of the world, let's get together. I know. Let's all make this world a
Hey everyone, welcome back to Gimme Shelter on the All Paws Pet Talk Network. I am with Dr. Carol and we're talking about something pretty serious. I know some of our conversations can be lighthearted, but this is something that we both really, really want our listeners to know about. Before we went to break, Dr. Carol was talking about rule number 5, I believe it was, about the jerky recall, or not even a recall is what I'm learning, just the incidents with the horrible sickness and death. So Dr. Carol, why don't we get back into this fifth rule?
Absolutely. We're talking about all these jerky treats, every flavor out there causing pet death, pet sickness, Fanconi syndrome, kidney failure, etc. The bottom line, folks, is don't buy jerky treats, period. If you think back to the 2007 menu pet food recall, where a little bit over a few more than 250,000 pets died, that was because melamine, a chemical used to make plastic, was added to the pet food. But what no one realized is the melamine combined with something called cyanuric acid. That's a chemical used to clean swimming pools.
And
in the kidney tubules of the pets, the two substances bound together, and that resulted in acute kidney failure, which killed approximately 250,000 dogs. Now, that's going all the way back to 2007. Well, now we're in the year 2013. We've got a jerky treat situation that's been going on for 5 years. They have not been recalled. They are still sitting on the shelves. And Jill, you asked a pertinent question. Is it okay to buy jerky treats made in America? No, it is not. And I'll tell you why. There is no law in place at the current moment. There is no law in place to inspect pet food, to analyze potential hazards, or even to see if the food supplement or the food substance is safe prior to releasing it and placing it on retail shelves. The new laws that are being proposed, again, understand they are not in place. They are merely being proposed, would propose to set some type of standard in place where the safety and the efficacy, the potential hazards, as well as the contaminants would be addressed prior to that food substance being released from the manufacturer and going out to retail. What a lot of people don't understand is the package might say made in America, but the product inside the package might be made anywhere. For example, China would be at the top of my list. And what else is very important to realize is when you buy food for your dogs and cats or any kind of pets, the ingredients in each product, I don't care how much you pay for it or where you purchased it, it can come from anywhere in the world. And what you need to understand is that pet food manufacturers are not required to indicate on the label where a food substance or where a particular ingredient has been sourced from. So whether it's sourced from China or India or anywhere in the world remains a mystery because they are not required to put that down on a label. So when you're looking at your labels that say made in America, it's important to understand that it's just the label that's made in America.
Wow.
The food itself, for you people that are going out there and spending $40, $50, and $60 for a bag of what you feel is premium dog or cat food with beautiful graphics and a beautiful label, and that includes your high-line, most expensive brands. Let's take chicken and turkey, poultry. Those products, in the vast majority of cases, those chickens are imported from China. They come into America, and then everything is put together. But the chicken, the turkey, the main ingredient, if you will, is not from America. And again, I don't think that a lot of consumers understand that. I know as a veterinarian, and I do a lot of research and have been researching particularly this pet jerky issue for many years. It wasn't until about 4 to 6 months ago that I just happened to catch the fact that for all these years that have gone on, although for humans the law is different, poultry has been and continues to be imported from China into the United States. No inspection is needed, recommended, or even implemented as far as the safety or the cleanliness, if you will, of those products. So I just, like I said, even as a veterinarian, I was not aware of that because they keep this information pretty secretive, if you will.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It really does. I feel like I'm a little bit duped here. I mean, I'm thinking I'm buying one thing. I think I'm buying U.S.-made products, and it sounds like I'm not.
Well, and you just hit the nail on the head. Another thing that the FDA talks about in their new rules that, again, are only proposed. Nothing has been written into actual law. So none of these things are actually being done right now, nor have they ever been done in the past. And they don't even refer to it as pet food. They refer to it as animal food.
Mm.
Understanding that animal food or animal proteins, that's any kind of animal from a bear, a gorilla, a turtle to a fish, could be anything, folks. So, you know, they talk about nutrient imbalances. And again, they try to differentiate between human and pets, if you will. So what they say is that to prevent nutrient imbalances in animal food, they say that unlike people who get their foods from many sources, that an animal's food is meant to be a complete and balanced diet. So what they're saying is that, for example, cats need thiamine, which is vitamin B1. And they're saying that if that B1 isn't in the food, the animal has no way to make it up. So they do not take into account that many dog and cat owners have realized the importance and the significance of vitamin, mineral, and nutrient supplements, antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals, if you will. So they still have their head all the way back in 1900, where they just don't realize that pet owners are treating their pets and offering their pets standards of nutrition and nutrient supplementation that equal those currently available for humans. So once again, the FDA is many, many years behind when it comes to what's really going on today. But wow, that is still how they are thinking. They still feel that the animal food supply, according to McChesney, who is an FDA representative, is still very, very safe. And then he goes on to say that when you buy food for your animals, those ingredients may come from anywhere in the world. So yeah, animal food producers and their suppliers, no matter where they're based, they're saying that as we go forward, may be held to the same high standards that are required for human food.
Wow.
In my opinion, as a practicing veterinarian, for over 25 years, I feel that is very sad and a very disappointing answer to the hundreds of thousands of dog and cat owners that are spending top dollar and doing everything possible to offer their pets the very best nutrition possible.
I totally agree with you, Dr. Carroll. I mean, this is something that is scary for an awful lot of people. I do have one segment left. I'd love to have you come back after the break. Maybe we can talk about things, some nutrition that people can get right out of their grocery stores for their pets. Carrots.
Absolutely. We can talk about homemade food, and folks, don't think of it as table food. Think of it as real food that'll put 50% of your dollars back in your wallet and actually help your pet to thrive.
Let's do it. Okay, we will be right back with Dr. Carroll. Hold on, everyone.
Love for the human race. Make it a better race.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn learn more and order your bike tow leash, visit biketowleash.com. That's biketowleash.com. Bike tow leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is biketowleash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Dini Shelter on the All Paws Pet Talk Network. I am here with Dr. Carol. Before we get back into it, I want to let you know that this show is brought to you by Pet Life Stores, where shopping is an experience for you and your furry friends. Please check them out at PetLifeStores.com. Okay, Dr. Carol, so we are talking about nutrition. Now, I have this magnet that I was sent to from my pet insurance company that says, do not ever feed your dogs the following items. And one of them, I have onion, I have garlic, all of these things that if I drop a little sliver of onion on the ground, I am now paranoid. So please set me straight. Let's talk about things that we can feed our dogs and our pets safely.
Okay. The first thing I would like pet owners to understand is we need to differentiate between table food and table scraps and pet food and real food. Let's just talk about it as real food. First of all, a few onions, a little bit of garlic, a small piece of chocolate. Is that going to hurt your pet? Certainly not. How can you make a homemade diet for your pet that'll not be just as good, but that'll be far superior to anything that you're going to find in a box or a bag or even a can sitting on a retail shelf? It's very, very simple. Divide your diet into 3 sections. 1/3 is going to be your lean protein. That can consist of basically any kind of meat, chicken, turkey, lamb, beef, veal, fish, any kind of fish like salmon, as well as eggs. 1 egg, 7 grams of pure protein. That's why kidney dialysis patients eat eggs. Okay, so we've got 1/3 lean protein. Then 1/3 is going to be the long-acting carbs. That would be any kind of rice, potato, pasta, noodle, macaroni, or oatmeal. Your 3rd section is your fiber, which is your fresh veggies. Any kind of vegetables, broccoli and cauliflower being at the top of the list, but green beans, string beans, peas, cucumbers, carrots, the list is endless. All you do, Jill, pick 1 ingredient from each section. Let's take chicken, rice, and broccoli, for example. Now, if you have a crock pot, here's the easiest way to do it. Buy a whole chicken. Get rid of the skin, throw it in the crock pot, buy a can of the low sodium chicken consomme, which of course is the broth, dump that in the crock pot. And if you want to use rice, take a bag of rice, any kind you like, and you can put that in the crock pot as well. Make sure that it's filled all the way to the top. If you need to add a little water, it's okay, but you need plenty of broth in there to get through that rice, to get through the hull of the rice. Now, with the rice in the crock pot, you're going to cook it for a minimum of 8 to 10 hours. Again, that's to get through the hull of the rice. If you're not going to add rice, cooking it a few hours will work just fine. Once you cook it, take the lid off, let it cool, get rid of the bones, and then just take a bag of fresh, raw vegetables, any kind you like, and just toss it in. Stir it around, and let's say you've got, 2 dogs that are approximately 50 pounds. What you'd want to do is leave half of it out, the half that you think you're going to use for that week, and freeze the other half so it doesn't go bad. Your feeding proportions will be pretty much identical to the amount that you're feeding now. 30-pound dogs are going to have about a cup twice a day. 50-pound pets are going to get about 2 cups twice a day. Pets that are 70 pounds plus are going to get approximately 3 cups of food twice a day. Now, when you have all your ingredients ready to go, let's just say per cup of our real food diet, you could add a half a teaspoon of extra virgin olive oil. It improves the smell as well as the taste, and it's a great source of those essential omega-3 fatty acids. And then just remember that most dog likes food that's seasoned up and that smells great. The top three flavors most dogs like: barbecue sauce, pasta or tomato sauce, and the brown sauce that a lot of the Chinese carryout comes in. It looks like soy sauce, but it's actually called tamari. T as in Tom, A-M-A-R-I. So I recommend just buy a bottle of low-sodium tamari. It'll cost you maybe $2, and you have to be willing to experiment a little bit. But that will offer, as I said, it'll cost you about $15. That'll make enough food for approximately 2 weeks if you have a couple of dogs in the 50-pound range.
Wow.
You can balance that out. In my veterinary practice, we balance that out with a natural, comprehensive, USA-made vitamin supplement called PAWS, P-A-A-W-S. But certainly there are many natural, comprehensive vitamin supplements out there, and that might be something pet owners can discuss with their veterinarian to make the diet complete. For those of you that are worried about the grains, knowing that most of them are GMO or genetically modified, and you're thinking that those grains are causing allergies, which is the whole theory behind the grain-free foods, which are not high on my list, just eliminate the long-acting carbs and switch your diet to 50% meat and 50% veggies. For those of you with kitties, remember that cats are obligate carnivores, not like man and dog. We're omnivores. We eat everything, but cats are pretty keen on meat. So remember that most cats either like meat or fish. A few like both, but you want to make your diet 80-20, 80% meat, 20% fresh veggies. What kind of fresh veggies do cats like, Jill?
Well, I don't know.
Well, there you go. I'll give you the top three. Creamed corn is a real favorite. white asparagus tips are loved by many cats, as are raw, fresh, finely grated zucchini strips. And again, when you add these fresh vegetables into the meal, it adds color, it adds texture, and it adds crunch.
Mm.
And that's just about as easy it is. I recommend go through one batch of food, which usually lasts about 2 weeks, depending on the size and body weights of your pets. And that if you want to make a change, for example, if you want to change the chicken to turkey, if you want to change the rice to oatmeal, if you want to change the broccoli to peas, make your change and then stick with it for the next 2 weeks. And simply look at that pet right in front of you on those four legs, and you evaluate the success of that diet for yourself. What most pet owners find is your incidence of allergies and itching and all that nonsense, about 85% will vanish in the first 30 days.
Wow.
So all those trips to the vet for itching and allergies and smelly ears and bad anal sacs, like I said, about 85% of that just disappears.
Wow.
What's a great treat other than your love and a belly rub and a nice walk? Fresh vegetables are wonderful, and not just carrots, folks. Carrots, green beans, cucumbers. Lots of dogs love cucumbers.
Oh, really?
All kinds of veggies. For those of you that have puppies, a teething puppy, take some carrots, some celery, some green beans, put them in a little baggie, throw them in the freezer. They're great cold teething treats. They're natural, and it's a great little family project. You can also take little rags, an old cotton cloth, rip it up into sections, dip it in fruit juice, tie it in a knot, and throw it in the freezer. Now, that's something you want to give your pet outside because it's a little bit messy, but it's natural. It tastes great. It's cool and very soothing to those inflamed gums that a teething puppy would experience.
It's just amazing because, you know what? This is also a huge money saver too. Dr. Carol, I'm looking at your Twitter. I'm big into Twitter here. And I'm looking, so it's twitter.com/CarolOnPets. Are we posting anything about the recipes? Can we do that?
We most certainly can do that. And the big thing I want people to understand is a little bit of onion, a little garlic, a little piece of chocolate. Folks, that stuff will not hurt your pet. Just
that
like, you know, it's different than grating a whole onion and feeding your dog an onion for dinner. That's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about a little bit of seasoning. And that's absolutely it. So please don't let those pet food giants make you so afraid to feed your pet that you keep going out and spending your money on all this dog food that unfortunately is not doing a lot to help the health of
our
pets.
That's what we've really learned. I really thank you so much, Dr. Carol. You really shed a lot of light on a lot of things that were scary to me and I'm sure the listeners. So everyone, please check out Dr. Carol on Twitter. Carol on Pets is her handle, and also drcarol.com. Dr. Carol, I'd love to have you on the show again, if that's okay.
Well, I would love to join you, Jill.
That sounds great. Okay, thank you so much, everyone. It was a great talk today with everyone. And we'll catch you next time on Gimme Shelter on All Paws Pet Talk. See you later.